Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom, to the aftermath. I'm your host tonight, CJ Jones, with my brother, my friend, my partner in crime, Chris Tenpenny. Chris, how are we feeling on another stressful, sweaty, another eventful Victory Monday, my friend?
Hey, only weird games for the Chiefs. Last week was almost, you know, with the Bears was almost, couldn't believe it because it was just a put-away game. Back to your normal Chiefs programming, sweating out against a team that you probably shouldn't have to sweat it out against. But hey, the Chiefs get to win as they defeat the Jets 23-20 in prime time. Dude, that was – I missed last week. Like, that was so stressful. It wasn't supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be so stressful. I mean, like, what happened in this game, man?
Hey, Pat told us when he did his little golf tournament in the summer when he was talking to Ernie on the TNT crew, he's like, guys, I'm good for TV. When have you ever seen me win a blowout? I just keep it close to the end. You know how this goes. It's New York. And like another record last night, the most watched football game since the Super Bowl. Gosh. At first it was the opener versus the Lions. Now it's this game versus the Jets. Every time we're on TV in primetime, Chris, you know what time it is. We don't cover spreads. We just get the win. So,
yeah, I think there's another reason why that game got as many views. But we don't need to talk about that this week. Everyone else has given enough about that. And you know what was frustrating is that game looked like it was going to be smooth sailing. Pacheco pops off for the touchdown. Next drive you hit. You hit Noah Gray for Pat's 200th touchdown, and it's 17-0. You're feeling good.
Rolling.
And then you get the safety that, you know, probably wasn't made a safety. I'm not going to be too hard on the officials there. It was close, and it's not their fault. It's non-reviewable play. But yeah. You get the safety. You get, you know, then they get 3 points out of that. Pat throws the pick and just kind of started to snowball. Is that just – was it just a few things that turned to more? Or kind of what were you seeing when during the Jets' comeback?
Now, that's usually how teams that aren't supposed to be in the game usually stick around is when you start making mistakes and they start, like, compiling. Just like the Colts game last year, like, everything that we were doing wrong went wrong. And it just kept snowballing into something else. One mistake turned into two turned into three. So it was definitely, like, almost laughed when everything started happening because, like you said, at first it was a safe – well, first it was a bad return and a penalty, which put us inside the 20. And then we had the penalty, which then, say, to get him 2 points, Pat turned – well, Travis Kelce had a drop, MVS had a drop, and then Pat turned the ball over. And on top of that, we had the, you know, the infamous back-to-back interception, which Pat should have never had. So there's always that one game a year, and we tricked off our first opener, being the game where we did stupid stuff and we lost the game. This is the game where Pat decided to turn the ball over 2 times, making terrible decisions, just like last year versus the Broncos. But this time we actually figured out a way to win the game, just like that Denver game last year. So it was frustrating, but getting those games out the way now, I know they suck as fans because we hate to see it, but winning tough games when you're making obvious mistakes, it builds character and it builds camaraderie, especially for this team because we're the comeback kids for a reason. We've been doing this for 5 years. Nothing new to us. But it's not good to see your team turning the ball over, Chris. But at the same time, if anybody's built to overcome mistakes, it's definitely the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, and we've seen them do it time and time again. That's what separates them from the Buffaloes and the Miamis. And, you know,
Buffalo lost that game, exactly.
Right. Buffalo lost that game when they had those things. No, we've seen Miami lose those kinds of games. You know, the only other team that's kind of been able to do that has been Cincinnati, and they're a complete mess right now. It's not something we have to worry about as Chiefs fans. So, like, kind of in a good spot again where the Chiefs showcasing that, hey, when your back's against the wall, your quarterback's not at his best, wide receivers can't get separation, the quarterback on the other end is playing at a high level that you didn't expect him to. I mean, props to Zach Wilson. The defense could have been a little better, but, like, Zach Wilson was kind of balling, and that's weird to say. Those words did not feel good coming out of my mouth, but, like, he was making plays out there. Making some back shoulder throws that, you know, little Rodgers-esque, if you will. So, like, got to give him some credit, but still was a game that if you take care of business, you don't have those stupid turnovers.
Oh, yeah, it's not close.
You know, like you're able to, if you don't have those two turnovers, you snuff that momentum, you put points on the board, and then instead of, you know, being 20-12 or whatever it was at halftime, you know, it's
probably 24-3, maybe.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe, yeah, 5 or whatever the case may be at that point. So good to see the Chiefs continue to, like, just kind of show that, hey, we've been here, not to panic. But, we got to start with it because while he did win us the game, I mean, with his legs, like he always does, Mahomes did struggle. Like,
he did.
What did you see? Was it something specific or was it just like, you know, we've seen Pat get in these modes sometimes?
It's kind of like just like there's that one game a year where Pat decides to just, like you said, get lazy And not saying he's not reading defenses, but he kind of like takes chances when you don't need to. And throwing it in the first interception, there was a right read because Noah Gray was open. But like you said, you're trying to layer it over two defenders. And you could just see him going towards the sideline going like this. But he just short-armed it. It's like you're trying to hit a par five or like a three iron. And he just was like way, way short on it. That's the first thing he did was like, yeah, it was the right read. Just my bad. It was super short. So that one I kind of, you know, kind of threw in the back of the memory bank and wasn't really too hard on him about it. Right read, just didn't execute the throw. It's okay. He's human. The second one, Chris, there were three defenders around Kelce. He had no business throwing that ball, like none at all. So I get you're trying to make momentum happen and you want to get a play back and you want to gain that momentum back for the team and get a first down. But in that situation, you don't need to throw it to Travis in that moment because there's a safety, a linebacker, and a corner all within like 10 yards of him. So that was a terrible decision. I'm sure nobody's harder on Pat than he is himself. But that's a ball you would like to see throw it to a check down, maybe throw it away or maybe scamper to see if you can run for a first down. But the second one was definitely the most disappointing because you didn't need to throw it at all. So, but unfortunately, this is our quarterback. He's amazing. He's not perfect at all. He makes mistakes. But the second one I'm definitely a little harder on, more so than the first one. But anytime you turn the ball over twice, that's usually what happens when you're trying to win a football game, especially against a team who had no business, like Chris said, being in the game with the Chiefs for sure.
Yeah, and it wasn't even just the two picks. It was, you know, the other pick that C.J. Mosley should have had that he dropped where him and Travis were not on the same. And, like, you can say that's the risk of not giving Travis a direct route. There was, like, you and I would have read that and had no chemistry know that even if he's coming across, even if Travis was going to keep coming across, C.J. Mosley was right there. Like, that was not going to be an easy completion. The clear path was to run a zig there, which is what Travis started to do. Where the open space was, and Pat just wasn't seeing it. And then I'm a little worried, you know, the last few years, we've seen his arm, his deep throw accuracy kind of suffer a little bit. And there was that one where he wound up to throw deep to MVS, and it was, you know, short by about 10 yards there.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. There wasn't just the two picks. There were plenty of throws where Pat just didn't have his game. Nothing was quite like the Washington Commanders pick from, you know, a couple of years ago. I still think that's the worst pick of his career. You know what I'm talking about, where he like just literally threw it. So it wasn't quite to that level, but definitely not something to write home about for Mahomes. But again, that the kind of player he is even when those with the bad second and third quarter, he's able to use his legs and to seal the win there. So, I mean, that's just even his bad games, he does something special to get the Chiefs the dub.
No, fact. He still has some crazy throws. Like the throw out to Noah Gray for the touchdown was a great throw over the top. Still made a lot of good decisions. Checking it down to Pacheco. Pacheco almost had a career high receiving yards, it felt like, because they were just feeding him on checkdowns, which was kind of the more frustrating part. Because I was like, Pat, you just checked it down to Pacheco like three or four times, and then you decided to force it. That's why I was like, well, the checkdowns have been working, so why not just stay with it? That's why I'm not too upset about it. It's literally like you said, Chris, Pat almost got bored with the process of like, everything's working. Let me just try to force this ball over to linebackers. I'm like, I get you, Pat. And like you've earned that credibility, so we can't like be too harsh on him because he is the MVP. But at the same time, we have to give credit where credit is due and give critique when it's due as well. And in this situation, Pat made some mistakes and he know he shouldn't have made. So overall, the good things we can take from the offense that we did run the football extremely well. Pop had 100 plus yards today. So that was good to see. So from Pat's perspective, I know he wants to win the games. He wants to be the reason we win the games. But at the same time, read the room almost, Chris. You feel me? Like, all right, run game's working. They're not letting us beat them over the top. And as they shouldn't, this is a great defense. Chris, I think it's fair to say this is the best defense we're going to see this year, in my opinion. Like, Buffalo, Cincinnati are good. Philly are probably the second closest. But that D-line group is deep. Like, Carl Lawson, Solomon Thomas, Quinnen Williams, Will McDonald. Jermaine Johnson, the kid that got in a scuffle at the end. Like, those are some deep guys up front. And then they have one of the best corners in the league and Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. So I think that may be the best defense we see this year. For us to start off as hot as we did and then get kind of lazy, it gives you some kind of simmer of hope because we were starting to see the flashes of the old Chiefs offense, but then we got a little lazy, 5 minutes into the second quarter, you think?
Yeah, it was definitely, it looked like he got a little bit bored. But like you said, let's talk about Pacheco because Pop popped off, man. He goes back in his home state. I know he grew up like 2 hours away from the stadium. It wasn't like quite as big of a homecoming, but he was back in New Jersey and had himself a night. Like, I what more does the Chiefs need to see that this is a two running back team? You know, you need,
and he finally broke a long run too.
He broke a long run. He was good in the receiving game. Like, I get it. You spend a first round pick on Clyde. Clyde is just an insurance policy in case one of the other two guys gets hurt. This is a Pacheco one, and third down back is Jet McKinnon. Those are the only two that should touch the field, in my opinion.
I completely agree. And we knew this coming to the season. It's funny when I talk to Chiefs fans before the game and during the game, Chris, I'm like, you guys know Clyde's going to play, right? And we're all going to sit after the game, win or lose. Like, why is Clyde touching the ball? We know how this goes. They want to protect Jet McKinnon because everybody's during the game is texting me, why isn't he playing? I'm like, guys, they're trying to save him. It's a long season. I'm with you. I agree. I want Jet McKinnon to play too. I don't ever want to leave the field on third down. Like that swing pass to Clyde, I'm like, why isn't that Jet McKinnon's play?
That was so like, slow. That was the slowest swing pass ever. Like, that could have been a big play. But by the time he got going,
leverage on the back.
I know it was a 1.5 yards because he couldn't get going. It was just
couldn't get it out of there.
How do you see what Ten's doing out there? You know,
I don't know.
Having a good game, breaking. You know, I know Trey Smith broke him open on that long run, but you know, having those kind of runs, getting 10 yards, doing push-ups on the field, and you're taking him off when you're in a dogfight for. So make sure Clyde gets his 4 to 6 touches a game that he always gets. It's like,
you don't need
him. It's too early in the season. I get Jet McKinnon has a long injury history. I get it. But he's not the one here. Like he's the two, he's the third down back. His snaps are already limited in that role in itself. You don't need to limit it even more. Let the man play. And it's one of the things that's baffled me this season is how they've handled the running back, especially when Jet and Pacheco have done very well with their touches and Clyde has not.
It kind of sucks because, like, this time last year when Clyde, I think he went down, I think around this time, week 5, last year after the first 4 games when he played really well. And when his injury happened, it low-key helped the backfield. I don't ever want to, like, talk on a man's injury because I love Clyde. Great player. Right. He's done good things for us. But when he got hurt, it cleared up everything, like you said. It was – Jets the 2, Pop is the 1. Our early down running back is Pop. When we get third down or get into the red zone, it's Jet McKinnon. Unless we want to get physical and run the ball, and then we put Pop. So we know who the 1-2 combination. We know how everybody has their role in this offense. And unfortunately, Clyde does have a role. I would not like it to be used as much as it is, but I'm done stressing myself, and I'm not even going to, you know, have a headache. I know how Andy is. I know how first Bieniemy, now Nagy. They just have a thing for Clyde. They're going to use him to spell guys, and it is what it is. It's frustrating to see because 10-1 are rolling. That's one of the best combos in the league, in my opinion.
It is.
Especially in the red zone. So it kind of is what it is. We just kind of got to get through the season. I think once we get to what you would think, when's our bye? After week 8? Or no, is it? After week 8. So by that point, you think we've played Miami, we played LA, we played Denver twice. You think that once that Philly game after the bye, that'll be a big one. You think they'll kind of get back into that 1-2? After that? Oh, week 9. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, because they played Miami week 9, right?
Week 9. So, yeah, week 10. So, after that week 9 game, do you think they would kind of get more back in the old mode? All right, we've gotten through the halfway through the season. Guys had a week off. Jet and Pop, it's y'all backfield. Now, Clyde, you just come in on emergency situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's one of the small things that for sure. The other thing, and everyone knows, is the quarterback sneak. Can we count that fumble first down play as a gateway quarterback sneak play for Mahomes?
Low key, Chris. Low key.
Like he did
it. Up and then went
it was between the center and the guard. He picked up the first
same
down.
Thing. Just the ball hit the ground. That's all he did.
Yeah, the ball hit the ground first. It wasn't quite the pile, but he got up and was fine. Like Andy, that should be your gateway quarterback sneak right there. You see that he's gonna be okay. He ran it, didn't get
Humble
hurt.
Ruski.
Yeah, a little unorthodox, but let's get that quarterback sneak back into the mix. Part of the reason why I think Mahomes could have been struggling a little bit is because of these damn wide receivers, man. Like, we spend so much time talking about, and us as a fan base, you and I included, have, like, talked ourselves into this group because there is so many intriguing / unknown parts about this group. Mm-hmm. Clearly isn't good enough. We've seen a month of football. This group is just clearly not good enough. And I think when you're looking at this offense and being, like, behind Travis Kelce, we've said Noah Gray and Justin Watson as guys who may be the second best option. Group cannot operate like that. Cannot operate like that. Like what is up with these guys?
They have to be better. There's no excuses. Guys at times get open, but then there's not time to make the catch. And then when they are open, guys may not necessarily make the play when it's there to be made. So it's definitely frustrating because it's always something. Like 1 week we're complaining about the receiver dropping the ball. Another week, we're complaining about Pat missing reads. another week we're complaining about now about guys not getting separation. And obviously that's due to the credit to the Jets defense. Like I said, that's probably one, if not the second best defense we're going to see this year. So I'm going to give them their credit. I'm not going to say it's all on us making mistakes, but from our vantage point, we have to be better at beating man coverage, Chris. That's my biggest thing. Like when it's zone, obviously it's a little tougher because you have to hold onto the ball longer. And then you're expecting guys to just find holes. But when it's man coverage, they're trying to press you, and then they're trying to let their rush do the work for them and make you hold on to the ball a little longer. So when it's man coverage, we have to design plays that we are comfortable with. And more so, Chris, the receivers are comfortable with. Like, what plays do these guys run routes best in? Is it like doubles? Do we run better out of bunch? Do we run better out of trips and with trio, whatever set it is? Once we figure out the formations, I think they have 4 weeks of, like you said, of data, of like film that they can go back and look, all right, these formations we work best out of, these are the plays we know we run the best right now, and we have the best connection with Pat. We'll build on this through the season because it's a long season as well. We're only in week 5 going into it. But right now, we need to focus on the plays that we do well. And I wish I could pull them up, but I'll post them on the timeline. But there are certain formations I think we're very effective out of, one of them being bunch. I love us in bunch. I love when we have a set of Trav on the backside solo to itself, and then we have Rasheed at point, Sky, and maybe KT next to him, if not MVS, whatever the case may be. That set we work really well out of. I also love we call it like close doubles, which is almost like instead of like doubles on the outside, guys are like kind of closer to where the tight ends are. So there's the two formations that I'm really confident that we actually have a lot of explosive plays out of, and we can do our run game, our screen game out of them. But it sucks because it's the beginning of the year, and just like remember that Colts game last year, we were complaining about the receivers. Guys aren't getting open, and what offense are we running? And Trav dropped a touchdown to win that game, and it was an ugly operation. And then once we got like to that Buccaneers game, and then when we got to the Bills game, we find our flow in our offense, and they're kind of like picking out, all right, what doesn't work, what doesn't work. They're kind of checking stuff off. And it's kind of like the experimental time of the first quarter of the season, which we just completed last night. So I think going forward, the guys have to be better, absolutely. And I'm not opposed to bringing in more talent. If a guy's available, we did it last year, bringing in KT. So if there's a guy on the market, and if there's actually a name, I'm going to get your opinion on it and see if you like it. But there's always guys that are available to bring in. But with the guys we have now, they can make plays. They just have to limit to the plays they know they can run and the plays they know they can run well, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's even more than that. Like, I get what you're saying, run what you're comfortable in. These defenses are so smart that they'll pick up on that. I think that there's too many fish in the well. Like, I think they need to, like, I get it. I get that you spend a second round pick on Rice and Moore, and that you brought Tony in to have expectations, and that Watson does a lot of things for you. And MVS is the highest paid. Like, I get there's reasons why all these guys are out there. Pick three of them. It's probably going to be MVS. I would go Rice and Tony right now. Sky Moore's played 4 games, doesn't have a catch in 2 of them, and his biggest play was a play that Mahomes made for him by scrambling, busting the coverage for 54 yards in that Jaguars game. Sorry, Sky, you can be the catch a breather guy. I want Rice, MVS, and KT out there. That's who I want. That's where I'm at with this team. And then if that doesn't work, then you can start adjusting. Because I think that you're just trying to rotate too many guys, and it's just hard to get a rhythm. It's hard to figure out what guys are doing well, how you're even seeing the defense. Like Justin Watson and Sky Moore, like they have roles on this team, I think. And I like Justin Watson a lot more than probably the average fan. I'm still at the point to where it's like, you're not going to be the reason that we win games. These other three have the explosiveness and ability to, like, let's give them the reps.
No, I agree with the MVS.
Are those the three point? Or I would probably put
Sky over KT just because KT's availability of not being
available. It's weird.
Ability wise, KT's definitely better. I agree with you on that point. If he was available every game, I would say throw him in there for sure. But since he can't necessarily, he'll have a game where last week where he barely plays, and this obviously it was a load management type thing. And then this week he plays a bigger snap count. Next week, I don't know if he's even going to, you don't know. It's a week to week thing with KT. So from ability point, I agree he is better. But if I had to pick the three, I would pick MVS, Rasheed, and Sky. Those would be my three. Let him roll, sprinkling a little KT on his specialty plays, kind of like we did Mecole. Have Justin Watson come in if we need want to take a deep shot at times or whatever the case may be. Roll with those three. Those guys, in my opinion, have shown the consistency to get open and run routes, at least to the best of their ability. I agree. Nobody has like showed any flash in the receiver room. Let's get that first and foremost. Everybody's on the same totem pole, in my opinion. Nobody separated themselves. But
the
I think now it's
that
point.
The one that has can't catch the ball.
Exactly. Like
Rice
he's
has
the one
clearly
that has
been
the catch, and he
clearly
catch.
Been the best at getting open. Clearly,
yeah, he's done a great job. He just has to, bro. Just it's the dumb drops, like bro. It's like right in your thumbs. Like what are you doing? Like so, it's almost like laughable because like the drops you have are the easiest catches, but then he'll have like a crazy catch at the end of the game. So It's like that thing of make hard plays, miss easy plays type thing. And it's frustrating to see, but it's a long season. I don't want to be like too Debbie Downer on the group, because I did this last year when we were talking about the group and like, oh, is Juju not fast enough to get separation? Is Miko even going to make plays for this team? Can MVS pick it up and have a connection with Mahomes? A lot of the same questions we're having now, we did these literally 365 days ago, literally almost a year to date. After that fourth game, we were having these same conversations. So I'm not going to kill him because I know it's a long season. I know we got but November.
Juju was an established wide receiver that you had exactly. That you bank on him bouncing back to a slow start new in the system. You exactly. Don't have that with this group. Like that's, you knew, that, like the chances of Juju bouncing back and getting to almost 1,000 yards, which he did, even missing a few games, that was a lot more realistic than what we're currently at with this group.
No, absolutely.
So that's
and where it's funny because like last year we didn't even think like Miko could even have like as much of a role that he did, and now we think KT could do that same exact thing. But they haven't really used him in that similar way with him. Like all those jet sweeps that Miko took, I'm giving all the, like I love all my sky getting the touches. Those jet sweeps should be KT's plays. That's literally what he does. That's his specialty, like in my opinion. And then short route should be all Sky. Deep route should be all MVS. And if you want to throw in Rasheed's kind of like the tweener. He could do a little bit of both. But everybody has a role. But I feel like you said, I agree. They're trying to have everybody do too many things at once, and it's not good. Focus on what you do well. This is your package of routes. This is your package of routes. Mm-hmm. Focus on what you do, and then just hone in on that. You don't got to spread the wealth too much. Just focus on your 3 to 4 guys, and then let's roll. And I think they'll figure that out slowly, Chris. It's frustrating from our standpoint because we're not in the building. But I think, like, when we're, like, what? We have Minnesota next, and we have to have Minnesota. Is it the Broncos? Yes.
It's Minnesota, Broncos, Chargers Broncos, and then I don't remember who's before the – I don't remember – or is it Dolphins? Are we at Dolphins? I don't know. Dolphins. But like, I know it's Vikings, Broncos, Chargers, Broncos.
Broncos. Yeah, those are the next four. So out of these next four units, none of these secondaries are overall good, in my opinion, or overall good, in my opinion. Right. They've all given up big plays. So these next 4 weeks, we should start seeing some improvement. And obviously, Chris, this was my. How do you feel about the name Hollywood, Marquise Hollywood Brown from Arizona? How do you feel about that?
He was not on my radar. I don't know what he's making.
I think he already got paid, I believe.
That may be the issue. The cap is a big issue. It's why the Chiefs are kind of
cap strong right now.
Yeah, that's why. So the big name, the biggest name that I want to get your opinion on, because it's everywhere. And real quick, actually, before we do this, I know there's probably a few of you watching this or listening to this screaming Justin Ross. If Justin Ross can't get on the field from mini camp to, you know, and what they do during the week, practice squad, all that stuff from practice, what makes you think he's going to be the difference on Sundays? Like,
exactly. If he's making plays in practice, they'll put him out there.
The coaching staff seeing the same thing you and I are on the field on Sundays, and they still aren't putting Justin Ross out there, which tells me he isn't separating himself in practice. So I don't need to talk about Justin Ross. But as far as improving this group, the name that obviously everyone's talking about is Chase Claypool. And I'm just going to say right out, I am not interested in the slightest, even for a seventh rounder. Is that where you're at?
Okay. His work ethic, his mentality, everything I've heard from Pittsburgh to Chicago, I don't want a guy who's been called lazy, whatever the case may be. I don't mind. I know everyone deserves a second chance. I don't want to condemn anyone because they said the same thing about
Kadarius. He had a second chance.
That's what I'm saying. But that was my point. He's on his second chance now, and he's not correcting himself. So in the NFL, if you're not playing well at your first stop, you get a chance to correct yourself and, you know, go out there and make amends for your mistakes. But he's not doing it in Chicago, and he's not. And it's not even about the skill part, Chris. It's the effort. They're questioning his heart and his effort. I'm like, I don't want a guy who don't even know if he's even going to play hard. Now you want to bring him to a championship organization. He's just supposed to magically just turn that shit on. So, like, I know, and I'm not trying to be a hypocrite because people said the same thing about KT. So I'm not trying to say guys don't deserve a second chance. But in this moment in time, if it's Chase Claypool or what we have, I'd rather roll with what we have, in my humble opinion.
And KT is on his second chance with Kansas City right now.
Yeah.
Let's get that for. And second off, his biggest thing was injuries. Like, yeah, maybe there was some effort question marks, but most of it was injury based. And how much did he really want to get back on the field? The Claypool stuff, Mike Tomlin gave up on this kid. Watch this kid have two pretty good seasons in Pittsburgh, catch a lot of touchdowns. I don't know if he ever broke 1,000, but he was in the 900s at least one of those years. Mm-hmm. And that guy, and Mike Tomlin gave up on him in Pittsburgh. Like, do you think this team is – do you think he's going to come into Kansas City, be able to learn this playbook, by the way, put the work into learning? Exactly. And second, how many times do we see this Chiefs team be down 10-0 or 17-3? I don't want that guy on the sideline when giving up already, when this team consistently is able to come back.
He's going to fold.
He's going to fold right away. I don't care if it's a literal bag of chips you give up for him and you pay him $0. I do not want him. He's just a cancer at this point. It's crazy to say that about an athlete because I think that's overused. I think a lot of it is situational. I think a lot of guys get bad reps for the situation that we don't know what's going on. I think Chase Claypool is the one of the few where it's clearly him. It's clearly a him issue, and I don't want that anywhere near the Chiefs.
No, I completely agree. You have a lot of things being said about him, and we don't know what's true and what's not true, but from what I've seen on the field, on film, is a kid that's lacking confidence and not showing any effort, and I don't want that anywhere in my team, especially when you're trying to bring in a guy that wants like a spark. And he's been given opportunities to make plays in Chicago, and I get it. It's a dumpster fire out there, so I get people's enticingness or – interest in wanting to bring in talent, because the kid can obviously, he can run, he's big and he's fast, so I get it where the interest comes from, but I don't want to bring in a guy who have to question your effort more than anything. So I get people's interest and they want to have new life, they want to bring in a spark, but still, Chris, I'm still going to believe in this group. I know we have the talent to make plays, guys just have to get it down and get open and make the plays, but I'm gonna still give them the benefit of the doubt because of what trade deadline's not till October, the end of October. We're only in week 4 going into week 5. We still got another 3-4 weeks before we can start having true evaluations. I'm gonna give the group the benefit of the doubt for now. Now, after the second Denver game, if I don't see drastic improvement, we'll start to have conversations about bringing in another body into the group for sure, whether it be via trade or maybe they could start on that. There's no older guys in the market that's even available, not in my opinion, like that are even available. That's what I'm trying to think of. No one's available right now. So, yeah, I think it would have to be somebody via trade. And like you said, our cap is kind of strong right now. So, these guys have to make it work, man. And I know they can make these plays. I've seen them run these routes on film, and I know they can get open. They just have to figure out a way to beat man coverage and see the field the way Pat sees it. And that's the only thing you can do with that is getting better in practice. So I know it's frustrating for now, but it's week 4. We're 3-1. We're top of the AFC, top of the AFC West. We have a lot more football to play, so I'm not going to write this group off yet. But it is a high alert situation, like to Chris's point. It's something to be concerned about for sure, hence the title. So.
Right, and I'm going to throw a name out here for you. Would you be interested in KJ Osborne for the Minnesota Vikings?
I wouldn't hate it.
Because they're 1-3, playing the Chiefs this week, and we are going to do a preview later this week. We're going to start splitting these things up, more content for y'all, so watch out for that. But Vikings are 1-3 right now. They're more than likely going to be 1-4. They are a talented team. It's not going to be an easy game by any means, but they play the Chiefs. Then after that, it's Bears, Niners, Packers.
Ugh.
So they probably win that Bears game. But if they drop the Chiefs, Niners, and Packers game, they're what? They're looking at 2-6 going into the trade deadline. Osborne is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. His cap hit is under $3 million. I mean, he kind of fits into the group you already have.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's cheap and the Vikings are just trying to get picks to he'd be one I'd be more willing to bring in than some of the other names that are floating out there. And he'd be more affordable.
Absolutely. I don't mind KJ Osborne. He's almost like, to me, like a Richie James copy.
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily elevate, but
yeah, like a higher version of him. So no, I like I said, I don't hate it at all. Yeah, if it makes sense and they're one, if we really are like after that game, like you said, after 2-6, that's like if we're really truly still having these conversations in about 4 weeks from now. This is that window for them. Like, all right, this is make or break it time. If you don't show some improvement in the next 4 weeks, they may have to bring in another body. So I'm with you. If it's available and it makes sense, I'm with it for sure, especially if guys don't show improvement in the next 4 weeks. Absolutely. Right.
Just to mix things up again. I don't know. Just trying to figure out
ideas.
What
they're on the board. Everything's on the board now.
There's not a lot of issues with this team. And we didn't even talk about Juwan Taylor today, and we don't need to because it's been talked about enough. But like, besides Juwan Taylor and the wide receiver room, there aren't a lot of question marks on this team. They're performing like we thought. The defense is a top 10, maybe even a top 5 defense, especially once Nick comes back. You know, the offense, even with Mahomes being off and no wide receivers, they're still a good offense. So not a lot to complain about now. They're 3-1 going into Minnesota. And hey, anytime you can get a W in New York in prime time, I'm going to take it.
Take them, baby. Like I said, that's the best defense we're probably going to see this year, man. And overall, we played good until the second half of the game. But for what it's worth, I think our offense performed. Hey, if we come out of that game against that unit running the ball extremely well, I got to give them their flowers, man. We've been screaming for the run game to get going, Chris. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't a clean game overall by any means, but to some takeaways, we ran the ball at a very high level. And that's something this fan base and this team has been wanting to do for a very, very long time. So if Pop to have, like you said, his pop out, his breakout game in Jersey back home where it's from, that's like a Hollywood story. You couldn't write that any better. So if that's what's going to carry us on to the season, if we become more of a quote-unquote running football team, or for us, that'll be like, what, 50-50 instead of 70-30?
Right.
So if we run the ball more efficiently and Pat doesn't throw the ball as much, hey, if we're going to find ways to win football games, that's what you have to do. Because I know what this passing game is going to look like. When the money on the line, I know what Andy and this receiving core and this tight end room, I know what they're going to do. It'll look ugly now. We'll probably be spotty and find ways to get wins. But when it's the money on the line, I've seen Pat go out there with practice squad receivers and find a way to win the Super Bowl on a hurt ankle. What do you think he's going to do now when he's fully healthy? So I'm not too worried about the receiving core now. I'm going to give him some grace to figure this out, because I've seen – Chris, the reason I'm not complaining, because I've seen us score no touchdowns for a receiver for an entire season.
And still win nine games.
I've been at the bottom. I've seen it all.
Yeah.
So I really got – and then we've had Tyreek Hill, an all-pro. I've seen both ends of the spectrum, Chris. So I really have no room to, you know, blow up and be super upset. I'm concerned like everyone else is, but – I've seen the lowest of the lows and the highs of the highs. I think we can find a way to Chris and meet somewhere in the middle. And I think that's fair. Am I lying? I think that's cool.
No, you're being a lot more patient than a lot of fans. And I'm trying to be patient too, but it is getting a little frustrating just because.
Absolutely.
I think it's starting to trickle down a little bit. It's starting to show its ugly head on some of the, you know, Pat and Kelsey are all timers, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, top five ever at their positions when it's all said and done. But they're limited on how much they can. They need some help, and they're not getting it right now. And so, outside
it's
of
Pacheco, back to back, man.
Pop's doing his thing, but the rest of the team needs to step it up a little bit as far as the receiving core goes. But all right, we're wrapping this up. CJ, where can the good people find all these hot takes and these videos that you'd like to put out?
I'll post some film now that all 22 is out. I'm definitely going to post some clips. You guys can definitely find me on Twitter at CGZ81, at CJEEZY81. If you have any questions, concerns, thoughts, if you want to talk about the game, like you said, we'll do our breakdown. We're posting that what day, Chris?
I think it's going to be Friday. We're going to post that Friday, that way we can get a little bit more in-depth instead of trying to cram everything into one episode.
Exactly.
That way also you're not learning about the Vikings on Tuesday morning and then you forget about what we said on game day. That way, you know, it actually holds some value a little bit throughout the week. So, yeah, look for that Friday. We're going to have a guest, Keegan Russell, on. He's the one who runs the KC Sports Authority podcast and runs the YouTube page and puts these up for us. So, again, give him a follow. Check these out on the YouTube if you're not already. Like and subscribe, please. Give me a follow on Twitter at 10penny88. It is playoff baseball, so I'm going to have those Twitter fingers going on some baseball. Crazy, so I apologize in advance. But, you know, we have some fun, so. All right, but I think that's going to do it for this week. We will see you all Friday, and we'll talk to you next time.
Go Chiefs.